Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There is no better group of plants for flower power than forms of the shrubby potentilla.
Hello and welcome to This Week in the Garden. I'm Peter Seabrook, here to address some of your gardening queries. Joining me later, a really good grower who I've held in high regard for many years. From Cowell's Garden Centre in Newcastle-on-Tyne, it's Alan Cowell. Our thanks to Sutton Seeds, sponsors of this week's podcast. Once again, of course, we refer to the weather. Boy, I got drowned several times last week. And even so, on my heavy soil, it hasn't gone in that far. But it's gone in far enough that the growth will be really sappy now. Strong new growth. And all that lush foliage and stems is, of course, perfect food for green fly and every other coloured fly. So keep an eye on their breeding like mad in that really warm temperature. And as soon as you see one or two, just give them a spray late evening in the dusk so that by the time the sun rises the next day to break those short-lived insecticides down, the job will be done and you won't be harming pollinators. And of course, it's Chelsea Flower Show this week. I was in amongst the judges on the new products, and the first prize went to a greenhouse with no glazing bars at all. And if you hit a cricket ball against it, the glass won't break. Costs $3,500, so a bit out of most of our pockets. But the runner-up is a very clever little hip trug, a little plastic sort of pocket thing that just clips on your waistband. And when you're picking soft fruit or doing deadheading, you can work both hands and just drop the stuff straight into these little trugs. It'll cost you less than £15 to pick up one of those from the Bergen & Ball company. Can't really be as modest as perhaps I should on the Chelsea Flower Show plant of the year 2017, because it happened to be on our exhibit. It's the new Mulberry Charlotte Russe. You know, mulberry trees take, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 years to grow big enough to start to fruit, and when they do, they only fruit in one go. Now, the new mulberry will fruit on young growth, just a foot or so high, and it fruits from June right through to the frost. I mean, it's a tremendous innovation. Gentlemen in Japan been working for years trying to breed this compact, container-grown soft fruit for the balcony and the patio. A close runner-up was another plant we had, Strawberry Just Add Cream. It's fantastic, the fragrance from it and the taste of the old woodland strawberry and then sweetness to go with it. I also heard that Johnny Walker, the Narcissus man, had a commission from Cardiff. Apparently there's some big match or something going on there in a week or two's time, and they want daffodils for some of the spectators to wear, and he, I think, will have 3,500 cut daffodils in June. Amazing what these fellas can do. Great specialist, Johnny Walker. I've got a little pear called Little Sweetie. Just grows straight upright and forms eventually something like a cone. Perfect tree for a container. And I thought I was very lucky in its third year to have a nice lot of flower. Got the flower pollinated and little fruit set. And then I noticed this week it's got pear midge. Boy, life can be frustrating in the garden. Now, pear midge is a little tiny insect, lays an egg in the developing fruitlet, and the fruit then gets a bit distorted, and there's little tiny, and I mean tiny, larvae in those pears, and they drop. I mean, one thing you can do on a small scale is to put a sheet underneath the tree so that when they drop, you gather up those fallen and infected fruits and burn them or destroy them. If you're going to control with sprays, timing, it has to be absolutely precise. You spray at what we call white bud. That's when the flowers are showing white, but they haven't opened. And at that point, if you use one of the fruit and veg insecticides, it will knock the adult midge out and will, after a season or two, at least reduce the population sometime. I don't know what to do with my little tree. I'm tempted to put it in a tube of horticultural fleece so the little midges can't get at my flowers. But then, of course, there's the pollinating. But I'll have to do that by hand, I suppose. Now, there's lots of other things that we can be getting on with. And now the weather has turned really quite wet in many parts of the country. There's plenty of seed sowing to do, plenty of planting to do. Whatever happens, try and keep on top of the weeds. You know, if they can be hoed off while they're small or pulled up while they're small, it makes life so much easier. I'll be sowing my second batch of runner beans. There's usually 4 weeks between the two sowings so that I get a really good length of harvest. But it's the time to start on all those biennial flowers that we raise from seed. And here I'm thinking of things like Iceland poppies, Canterbury bells, East Lothian stocks. Not enough people grow that. Boy, they are fragrant, beautiful things. So sowing a few of those now will give you plants to put out in September, and they'll be in flower at this time of year. And the same really with Sweet William and Foxglove and some of the perennials. I really like the long-spurred Aquilegia or Granny's Bonnet. And if you sow seed of those now, they'll make really nice, meaty sort of plants by the autumn, and they'll be in flower this time next year. They're a great plant to grow for cut flower. They last quite well in water, and they're really elegant if you grow the long, spurred flowered kinds. Now today I'm very fortunate, somebody I hold in very high esteem, Mr. Alan Cowell, who comes from the Northeast. Now Alan, yours is a family business up there, isn't it?
It certainly is. It's started by my wife and I, and over a period of time our three children have all started off in the garden centre. Two are now running it virtually 100%. Mavis and I have taken a sidestep.
I can't believe you've retired entirely. You know, you're not that sort of chap.
Once you've worked 7 days a week, Peter, all the hours God sends. It is not easy to continue being away from it. When I'm very busy, I get a call to say, Dad, can you, will you? And that's what we do.
But that's what dads are for, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, that's what parents are for. And they're also there to the request for, can you, have you got some money, can you do this?
Oh, I don't know about that.
Never seems to stop.
Now, to help our listeners, Alan, can you sort of tell us where you are? I mean, you're north of Newcastle-on-Tyne, aren't you?
Northwest. Quite close to Newcastle Airport. Well, very close, I guess, to an estate called Darris Hall in Puntyland.
Right, so that
which is quite well known and is on most motoring maps. People would see the size of this estate. Yeah. Where all your footballers hang out.
Oh, is it?
From Newcastle and Sunderland.
So all the moneyed people are
that's
out there.
That's where the moneyed people are, that's right.
Now, Alan, when I was working in Teesside for a few years, shoppers didn't cross the Tees. Is that the same with you? I mean,
exactly,
do you...
the same. If you're born and bred on the north of the Tyne, you stay there. On the south of the Tyne, that's Mackham country. Not many people like going to Sunderland. And Sunderland don't like coming this side.
Strange, isn't it?
It's very strange. Peter, I know Northumberland pretty well, although having worked every day virtually all my life, there's lots of places I don't know. But Durham, over the river, I know very little. Gateshead and places, but I do know it's a beautiful county, Durham.
But when you and your wife started, was it a bedding plant nursery, or did you go straight into sort of garden centre business?
No. When I first started, I was a sub-postmaster, Peter, growing dahlias for exhibition.
Oh, really?
I was fortunate that the garden I had with the post office was quite a reasonable size. And that's how I really got into horticulture. And we sort of said, we're not going to get a lot of success with this post office with three young children. And we started selling some horticultural products from the shop. And I had the plot of garden out the back where I grew the dahlias. Tell you something which you'll probably never remember, Peter. In fact, I'm sure you don't remember. But I was exhibiting down in London at the National Dahlia Show. And you came up to me about 3-4 o'clock in the morning and had a chat.
Well, that's amazing.
Well, it certainly amazed me. We were over the moon. What, Peter Seabrook? Whoa, we've hit the big time. And I've never forgotten that.
I had forgotten. You know, I certainly was used to getting up early. I mean, in the 60s and 70s, we did 40 flower shows a year, I think. And on one occasion, came up to Newcastle when the Royal Show used to move from county to county. I remember it took us a day and a half in the lorry to go from Chelmsford up to... I think it was up there near the race course or something. Terribly windy site. Yeah.
Well, it was in the early 70s where I was exhibiting dahlias.
Well, that's amazing.
I've never forgotten that.
No. Well, I'm very pleased to be reminded. Yeah. And they were great days, weren't they? Don't you think?
Oh, they certainly were.
Boy, you win a prize at that London show, you won something. The quality was unbelievable.
And knowing you've got to continue keeping quality has held me in really good stead ever since we put our foot into the garden, well, the nursery industry, stroke garden centre industry. Without the quality, you'll never succeed in my eyes. You know, we've got a cracking good business now that the family are keen to continue with, and it's all about quality, quality, quality.
Without question. And I think perhaps I should explain that there's an organisation called the Garden Centre Association that has independent inspectors that go around inspecting all of the member garden centres, and they give points, and at the end of the year there are awards given, particularly for the Ruxley Rose for plant quality. Now, cows have featured in that pretty well, haven't they?
I think we're probably light years ahead of anybody. We've managed to achieve 7 years running, winning the Garden Centre Ruxley Rose Award.
I mean, that's, Alan, that's unbelievable. Seven years running. When you think of the really big names in garden centre business right across the country, that cows up in the northeast could win that Ruxley Rose 7 times. That's unbelievable.
Didn't come immediately, but ever since we joined the Garden Centre Association, we've always supported going to conferences, listening, talking to people, and it's just a wonderful association for anybody that's interested in plants especially. We've often been the bridesmaid, Peter. But then somewhere along the line, we must have found the reason for success, and it becomes harder each year. To keep to the top of the tree.
It is always, isn't it?
Always harder. Somebody wanting to knock you off, but that's great.
But shouldn't you give someone else a chance? I mean, damn it, seven years.
I think we would quite like to be honest. But they've got wonderful staff, and they really commit themselves to doing their best for the business.
Now, where are you in terms of season? Because when I left home today, we got the laburnum trees in full flower. I've got the first lupins and peonies in full flower. I'm cutting sweet peas. How does that match with the season with you in the northeast? You'll be a week or two behind, presumably.
We certainly are. I mean, we've got to be very careful on the garden centre about when we start selling bedding plants. And I'm a bit of a stickler for saying, if I've got one, I must have probably 200 beware of frost notices. And up here, you just got to adhere to that. I'm probably the only garden centre, a retail horticultural outfit, that sticks quite rigidly. End of May is the time.
The end of May.
For bedding, really. We're just starting to But all bedding's going back over as regards the volumes that we used to sell. People's time just doesn't seem to allow it to get more and more people planting containers, etc. The days of bedding, I'm afraid, are certainly receding quite rapidly.
And I think that's a pity. I mean, I've just come from the Chelsea Flower Show. I think 4 square metres of Begonia semiflorans in full flower. I mean, they're such easy-natured plants. They perform so well in all kinds of conditions. I think people shouldn't give up on bedding.
In my eyes, the Begonia sems are the number one bedding plant. Because even up here, they'll still be in flower in November.
Yeah.
And that can be barred from, even if we say the end of May, all the way through into the back end of November, which is quite remarkable for the cost of them. I've still got begonias in full flower, I'm sorry to say.
Oh, have you? Yeah.
Hostas aren't too far through.
I mean, I've got hostas now in full leaf.
Oh, yeah. We're not so lucky, but...
Well, except I've got fig where the frost just burnt the leaves back, you know, 10 days ago or so, perhaps it's 2.5 weeks, we had a really vicious night frost. The magnolia leaves just went black overnight in the wind.
I have a magnolia just on this front drive, just in bud, it'll be about another 2 weeks before it breaks.
Oh, really?
Which is great for me because I'm not going to get it frosted this year.
No, you're not.
And I've never had a season without it getting frosted at some stage.
So you've got a good garden as well as a garden centre to look after.
I've got too big a garden, Peter, to look after. I find it quite difficult to really give it the attention it deserves.
Yeah, I can imagine.
For all I'm not at work very much, I still have other outside interests called golf. One.
Now I haven't fallen to that disease. That's a terrible disease, that is, isn't it? Eh? You can't garden and play golf, you know.
It was something I hadn't picked a club up when I was about just short of 60. And my wife put my name down for when I retired because the club had a 5-year waiting list. So I managed to get in quite quickly by offering to hang about a dozen nice hanging baskets for them. Scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, that attitude.
Well, they won't get better hanging baskets than you find at Cowes, I know that, yeah. Alan, it's been great speaking to you. Hope I can see you next week when you come down south for a day or two. And I wish you and all your family every success up there in the northeast.
Thank you very much indeed, Peter.
This week I had a query from a GP. Very nice lady, who's starting gardening for a first time and wants to grow more of her own vegetables. And she's cleared a bit of land or got somebody to clear it. It was, 10, 15 feet high of a rough sort of shrub and a bit of bramble and things. And somebody came in with a digger and cleared that. And she now wants to grow veg in the plot. Well, now, if you're trying to grow veg, the first thing to do is to improve the soil. I'm afraid it's going to be a tough job, and even though the diggers pulled out all the top growth and some of the stumps, that area is going to want carefully digging at least a spade's depth and a good lot of organic matter dug into it. You know, I got a little plot of land on the top of my garden recently purchased, and it has, 20 or 30 years of lawn mowings from the adjacent garden stacked up on that plot. I dug all that in, and I'll tell you, I can't believe the growth. You can never dig in enough organic matter, and if you do, it'll make the soil so much easier to handle and to work, and the crops will grow as you've never seen them before. Next week, I'll be in the thick of the Chelsea Flower Show, the world's finest floral extravaganza. And we'll try and bring some of the stories and the atmosphere and the news from that event. Enjoy your garden. We'll be back next Thursday.
Hold up. Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.